honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I want to thank each and every one of you for downloading and listening to this show. It's a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. The Minnesota Timberwolves played three games this past week, went 2-1, so we did lose one, but not to Dallas, but to New Orleans instead. The Minnesota Timberwolves continue to rock and roll and are two games ahead of the Denver Nuggets, at least last time I checked, and are still number one in the Western Conference with an 18-5 record. Timberwolves continue to maintain what they've been doing, and it's a fantastic season. Can't tell you how much I hope this continues. Amazing. Absolutely awesome. Again, 4-1 in our last five. Three games to preview, if I didn't mention that already. Four games. Indiana, Miami, Philadelphia, Los Angeles. So we host the Indiana Pacers, a one-game homestand, and then head out east to Miami, and then up to Philadelphia 2 days later. Host the Lakers the next night after Philadelphia. Well, that's a little bit tougher. And then off to Sacramento. That's kind of, wow. Off to Sacramento for Saturday. Interesting as we head into the Christmas weekend and all that good stuff. Not the holiday weekend, the Christmas weekend. Holiday might be the month, I guess, but... Christmas is Christmas. So we'll continue from there. Minnesota Timberwolves open up things against the Memphis Grizzlies, 127-103. Pretty easy going, pretty fun, pretty enjoyable, I suppose. Anthony Edwards banged up, driving to the basket, and then just, guy basically landing on him and him kind of landing hard and such, and the same hip injury just kind of flared up, and he's like, okay, I guess that's enough, and walks off the court, unfortunately, 3.5 minutes or so into the game. No problem. Carl Anthony Towns pretty much, took over the reins of scoring. Rudy Gobert took over the reins of rebounding. Mike Conley continued his reign of assists, but again, Carl Anthony Towns adding the assists as well, along with Kyle Anderson, laddie. Kyle Anderson. So, yep. It felt like, I swear, it's like the darndest thing. It felt like I've already reviewed this game, but I couldn't have. That's impossible. This was after last week's show. But it must have been the... That's so weird. I'm having, like, weird deja vu effects here, and I don't know what it is. Obviously, we did play this team, and we did beat them by a similar score not too long earlier. And it was kind of a game that was kind of grinded. It was kind of close, kind of a grind back and forth. And then, as the game progressed, the Wolves just simply pulled away. And that was all she wrote. It's been, again, a magical, magical season. You want it to continue forever, and I hope it does. All the way to a championship. Teams are talking about, can the Wolves get to the NBA Finals this year and all that. It's just unbelievable to be in that conversation. The Wolves pulled down 54 rebounds. Memphis only 28. 30 assists to 24. Cute little statistics like that. Carl Anthony Towns, again, receiver of some good plays, some offensive rebounds as well. Able to finish in this one. Only 7 total rebounds. Gobert with 20 again. So it's like, again, it just reeks of deja vu. 16 points, 20 rebounds. And it's like, he just did that, didn't he? 6 blocks, though. Absolutely amazing. And that can definitely help bring the Memphis Grizzlies field goal percentage down to wherever it was, way down there. Wolves shot 50%. A lot of close range dunks and such. Kyle Anderson, 2 of 11. Anthony Edwards, 0 of 1. Boy, little do we know what kind of shooting percentage. His shooting percentage during this hip injury as he came back a couple days before. That was a pretty rough one as well. Crazy shooting percentage in all of these games. I believe that was against the Hornets or the Spurs? Just crazy shooting percentage. Yeah. Oh, yeah, 17 points. Yeah, I'm just backtracking. Yeah, 4 of 17. 4 of 17. 17 shots, 17 points. No problem, guy. Anyhow, sorry for backtracking. That might be what threw me off. I don't know. But obviously the Dallas game, the putrid field goal percentage as well. But a comfortable win over the Memphis Grizzlies. Again, close-range baskets, close-range shots and all that, like a lot of dunks and such. brings your field goal percentage up to the moon. Troy Brown, another very nice performance in the stead of Anthony Edwards. So second time around now that Troy Brown has replaced Anthony Edwards very nicely in an emergency situation like that. Like, Brown was going to play regardless. He deserves to be in the rotation. But what a game. 20 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds in 30 minutes. Like, very solid. Awesome. Again, Kyle Anderson did not shoot well, but he did make plays. Conley, 19 points. Again, the former Memphis Grizzly and all that. Nikhil Alexander-Walker had one of his better games, 14 points and a block. So a couple of assists. Solid overall night and a comfortable win for the Wolves. Desmond Bain was the best player for Memphis. He hit a shot from way out into... He hit a shot from Nashville, basically, we'll say. From Nashville. So that was one of his 4 of 6 from downtown. Derrick Rose started at point guard and, well, 6 points in 22 minutes. But that's about all you got to say there. I do believe, yes, Jalen Nowell plays for the Grizzlies now. Somehow he managed to get 4 personal fouls. William Avery-like numbers there. Like, dude, what's going on? So just, I don't know, just kind of a mess defensively, like Will Avery. And, 8 points off the bench. Made half of his shots literally from field goal range and downtown. So good for him. Former Timberwolves watch, you could say. But, again, a comfortable win for the Wolves. Let's move on to a comfortable win by the New Orleans Pelicans. The Wolves lose their 5th game of the year. 121-107. This one was not a good game, unfortunately. Second quarter's when the New Orleans Pelicans kind of started to kind of take a lead. The Wolves would hang in there, a really nice third quarter with 34 points. They only beat them, but unfortunately still allowed 31 by the New Orleans Pelicans, and then would get beat by 10 in the fourth quarter, unfortunately. McLaughlin's back. He actually hit a shot from, where would it be, New Orleans? So he hit a shot from, I don't know, he had a shot from Dallas, I guess, like way out there, mid-court, basically. So good for Jordan McLaughlin. That's the highlight of the Wolves game. That was the only shot he would make, unfortunately. No Anthony Edwards, of course. Just, hopefully this doesn't plague him for too much longer. But bruises take time to heal. Look back at Robert Covington. It took like the whole damn year. And I don't like the way this is behaving. Okay, Nikhil Alexander-Walker starting at small forward. 7 points. Just, I don't know. Unfortunately, when he starts, he's not as good as when he's coming off the bench. It's like a different vibe. He doesn't come in with the same energy. You know, like, coming off the bench, yeah, it's a totally different vibe. Like, certain people are meant to be in their rotation. Other people are meant to be starters, I guess. And that's kind of how it is with Nikhil, at least from what I can tell. Some guys deserve to be starting. Yeah, I mean, even look at Troy Brown. Only 5 points, 2 of 9, 2 of 7 for Nikhil Alexander-Walker. The defense was balls. And the offense was balls. Yeah, it was bad. Rudy Gobert had one of his worst games of the season. Only 8 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks. 2 blocks is fine, I guess. It's okay. Karl Anthony Towns fouled out. That didn't help at all. Yeah, Karl Anthony Towns and Mike Conley, 17 points apiece. Even Conley, he was okay, but 3 turnovers, that's not real Conley-like. Shake Milton did have 17 points in the previous game, 12 here as well. Shake Milton's jumped up a bit, so good for him. Still kind of a little bit erratic at times, but, I don't know, generally better. Jaden McDaniels would make his grand return. Jaden McDaniels finally returning from the grade 1 ankle sprain. At least he didn't miss 2 months or anything crazy, which, again, the NBA... An injury in every other sport, it's like twice as long in the NBA for some reason, no matter what it is. Like ACL, you're out for 6 months, right? Like you could maybe, like God forbid, somebody has an ACL like in the NFL, like November, December. They're usually back in time for training camp. NBA, nope. They will miss the entire next season and then hope to God they return sometime during the year after that. It's ridiculous. I understand it's a terrible injury and all that, but I don't know. For some reason, it seems like it's always doubled. At least from what I've noticed. I know it's a sport where you got to have an amazing amount of quickness and you're constantly moving and all that. But football. That's all I got to say. Football. Anybody heard of that? Pressure on your knees and ankles and back and everything else. Anybody heard of football? Pressure, pain? Yeah. I suppose basketball, there's more games, but still. Yeah. That's why, I don't know, I get a little bit miffed by that for some reason, but I don't know. It is what it is. Why am I getting into that right now? I don't know. But the Wolves will lose their 5th game of the season, drop to 17-5. New Orleans just kind of had fun kicking our butts. I like that the little highlight thing pops up. Gobert, I mean, had a couple of moments, but only 8 points in the game. I mean, it was nothing to brag about at all, unfortunately. It really wasn't. So, I don't know. It's unfortunate. Nikhil Alexander-Walker would have at least one decent play in the game, but overall, it just wasn't a fun night. And Zion Williamson was Mount Zion in this one. No doubt about it. 36 points in the game, 13 of 17, just jamming it in our face, basically. A Shaq-like performance, minus the rebounds. I don't know why he doesn't get more rebounds. But Valanciunas also, again, like a little too easy getting the offensive rebound and just easy putbacks. And I believe he even got a and one on the play. It's just like, oh, come on. And, of course, CJ McCollum, when he's healthy, he's a threat. 4 of 7 from outside, 23 total points, and he hates us because we passed on him in the draft many years ago, and I guess that's how that goes. I wouldn't want to be passed in the draft either if I had pride in myself, but, it is what it is. I don't know. Just this game kind of felt pretty much from the get-go and all the way through. Like, I don't know. If we somehow win this one, it'd be insanely impressive. Kind of like yesterday with the Dallas Mavericks, which is the next game review, but... just a lot of bounces of the ball went the way of the New Orleans Pelicans. And I'm not just saying luck, necessarily. It's just kind of, I don't know, it just kind of was their night and it was not ours. That kind of thing. Like, say, the Baltimore Orioles ended the Twins' 15-game win streak in 1991. And they acted like they'd won the World Series. They'd beaten the 1927 Yankees, that kind of thing. So it's like, yeah, I mean, we must be good if people are reacting like this after finally beating us. That's kind of how the GM responded after that game. And I suppose this one kind of felt like that, in a way. Hopefully the Timberwolves season ends the same way the 91 Twins season ended. Look up the 1991 Twins if you don't know much about that. And, that's all you need to know there. Yep, so, I mean, obviously you're not going to win every game. And obviously the Wolves have never won a championship, and if we do, it'd be an amazing feat. No doubt about it, no matter what year it is. Dallas Mavericks. Timberwolves trailed this game 17-2. It reeked of loss. It reeked of like, oh boy, here we go. Two-game losing streak. And then you got Indiana and Miami coming up. Philadelphia coming up. Even the Lakers are a threat because they won the in-season tournament. Of course, if any team is going to win the first in-season tournament, while it's still called that, it'll probably have a new name at some point, I'm guessing, because it's pretty generic, pretty stock. But I don't know. It's good enough, I guess. It's just funny. Of course, the Lakers won it. Oh, what a surprise. Gosh, it just had to be the Lakers. Like, I would much rather it would be Indiana, a state that's kind of like, it's the Hoosier state, basketball, this and that. It's kind of a classic basketball state. It could be suburban, it could be country, it could be, like cities and such in Indiana and all that, but it's kind of like a basketball maven. But, of course, L.A. wins, of course. They're tied with the Celtics for the most NBA championships. They're the most historic franchise in NBA history. So, of course, it had to be the Lakers. It'd be like if they had an in-season hockey tournament and then, say, Montreal won the Stanley Cup or something after they... or won the in-season tournament or something. About 30 years ago, that would be perfect because after all the Cups, they'd won and all that. So, I'll get off that now very quickly. The Timberwolves would gradually chip away and chip away at that 17-2 lead and somehow end the first quarter only down by 4. That's like insanely impressive. End the half down by 1. It was a very entertaining second quarter, probably the best quarter of the game if you're a basketball fan. Not necessarily if you're a Timberwolves fan. The best quarter of the game was the fourth if you're a Timberwolves fan, because the Wolves would absolutely pull away 32-19 and leave the Mavericks and their fans just kind of like, the hell just happened to us? What just happened? Third quarter as well, 28-22. The Wolves put the clamps down after giving up 60 points in the first half. You think, defense? What defense? Our defense isn't that good. Like, I don't know, they're on pace for 120. It's not like a barn burner, but kind of a little bit for how great the Timberwolves defense has been this year. And then you keep Dallas down to what, like 41 points in the second half? I mean, that's what I'm talking about right there. 41 points in the second half. 60-41. I mean, that is an absolute butt whooping in a big way. Absolutely. And that was awesome. Mavericks started missing shots like crazy. Miss. What was it like? Two guys were like 2 for 20, right? Yeah, Tim Hardaway 0 for 7. Grant Williams 1 of 7, and Derek Jones Jr. 1. Yeah, it rolls right off your tongue, doesn't it? 1 of 6. So yep, that's your 2 of 20 right there. That's pretty bad. 0 of 7, man, for Tim Hardaway Jr. He's a pretty good player. He's not a great player, but he's a nice player. He's good. I'd take him on the Wolves. No kidding. Derek Lively Jr. Or second, sorry. Derek Lively the second. Sure, that's an interesting name. Even Doncic struggled from outside. looks like he's wearing pajamas sometimes. And you see those? No, not really. I'm just kidding. Looks like he's just kind of at the gym. Not really with those long. It looks like he's wearing like the long, like long pants, long legs, whatever. But a couple of the Mavericks had that look in the game. Not that it matters that much. Rakan Holmes, gosh, he's fallen out of rotations, but I suppose he got hurt a lot. Unfortunately, the former Sacramento King, right? Would have really liked to have him. He's a great rebounder, but. And A.J. Lawson, wasn't he a good player, too? What happened to him? Just 2 minutes, just barely getting into the game. Dwight Powell was a valuable piece not that long ago. He somehow, well, he got 4 rebounds in 7 minutes. But when people are shooting like that, yeah, you're going to get 4 rebounds. The Mavericks shot like poo, and good for us. At least in the second half they did. 47% isn't exactly terrible. They did get a lot of close-range dunks and such, and layups and some and-ones, and that was especially in the first half, in the first quarter, when they were kicking our butts. But 22% from beyond the arc, 7 of 32 isn't going to get it done, especially against the Wolves when they decide to really turn the Jets on and pull away. And it's very impressive overall performance by your Minnesota Timberwolves. Naz Reid was incredible throughout the game. Some close range shots, but even 7 of 11 from outside. 7 of 11 from 3-point range. An awesome, awesome game. I guess he only had one dunk. That's funny. But no, that was the Memphis game. I'm getting it mixed up with that one. Memphis game was actually pretty good. He was more kind of attacking the basket a bit and on the, you know, finishing and transition and all that cool stuff. But Naz Reid, an absolutely epic performance. Crazy to think, actually, only one of his shots was a 2-pointer. So we're back to... But if you're that red hot, you might as well just keep doing it. Just keep doing what you're doing, buddy. So he was 1 of 3 from 2-point shot, from, like, you know, in front of the arc, and 7-11 from beyond. So that is pretty good. Karl Anthony Towns, obviously, great performance as well. 17 rebounds for Karl Anthony Towns. So kind of picking up the slack for Rudy Gobert. A couple of quiet performances, only 8 points, 12 rebounds, which is quiet for Gobert, but 5 assists. He was moving the ball around pretty nicely. Anthony Edwards did return. You notice you didn't hear Anthony Edwards' name once in the New Orleans game, and he probably wouldn't have helped much anyway. Actually, he would have. I better shut my big trap. Anthony Edwards shot like dog dookie and anything else disgusting you might think of. 3 of 19. 3 of 19.
Come on!
Looked like Klang Thompson on one of his bad nights when the ball just doosh, you know, it bounces way off the rim. Or I think it was his first shot of the game. It's like, the hell? That was like a foot to the side. My goodness. I mean, what are you, like Northcutt of the Buffalo Bills or something? I mean, it was way off to the side. A layup, you know, how it got kind of like stuck, you know, in between the rim and the backboard. You know, that little corner on both sides of the rim, where there's that little window where the ball can get stuck sometimes. It came out. It wasn't like they had to stop play or anything. It did slide out. It just, there was resistance, though. It kind of hung there for like about, you know, half a second or so. Like, that was a layup. Like, it's obviously a really lousy shot if it winds up there in the first place, but a layup. So, that hip definitely has affected Anthony Edwards' shot, at least for the moment. So hopefully he can overcome that and be better. But here's the thing. Hear me out. A guy that shot 3 of 19 from the floor, right? You got to think he's, you know, he had a shitty game, right? Pardon my French. He had a bad game. Awful game. Anthony Edwards was a plus 20. Yeah. And you're thinking, plus 20? Okay, that proves that stat is full of crap. 11 assists. 11 assists for Anthony Edwards. He actually... He did make up for his awful shooting. Now, he still ended up leading the team in field goal attempts, which I don't know why, honestly. But he still made plays. He made plays all over the court, swinging the ball around, setting up Naz Reid for a couple of some spot up threes and such, and other players. Jaden McDaniels back to the starting lineup, only 11 points, but you're not going to get great fantasy numbers from Jaden McDaniels at this moment. But I got to think they'll come up a bit. I did pick him up, you know, like an emergency signing, because like I have like three guys on IL. If you can imagine that in the fantasy world, three. Like, come on. Welcome to the NBA. He's out. He's doubtful. Hangnail. Okay, I'm sorry. I know. But it's an issue. It is. I'm sorry. It is. It's an issue. I'm making $35 million a year. If this hangnail gets any worse, you know, it could affect my career, you son of a gun. Yeah, but you're getting paid to play, though. That's an easy comeback. At least I would hope. Gobert did other things again. Also, he did make 3 of 4. It's not like he shot poorly, but yeah, he stinks at the free throw line, though. 2 of 6. He's had some whoppers at the free throw line, like 2 of 9, 2 of 11. Oof. Hopefully, yeah. Let's not think about that. Let's not think about it. Even Anthony Edwards was 3 of 6 from the free throw line. So, got to think that yeah, it's a stiffness issue, like that the hip bruise. It's definitely a stiffness issue. Probably not getting full motion on his shot. Something like the layup. Like probably not getting. You could tell the ball was kind of low. Like that's obviously why it wound up in that weird window in between the rim and the backboard. But well, he did other things. You know, he did other things. Good for him. Like say a hockey player's not scoring goals. All of a sudden, oh, 3 assists tonight. Not bad. Like 3 assists in hockey. That's really high. So that's way up there. 2 assists is considered a pretty good game in the NHL, but 3, oof. And that's kind of what this would be an equivalent of. Like, say, Anthony Edwards would have, like, an open net shot, and he'd hit the post, or it'd be way off. Like, it would go over the net, or way off to the side, kind of like Matt Dumba. Yeah, but Matt Dumba's range of motion was messed up by a pectoral injury that, I don't know, seemed like it never came back from it. It's weird. That's a Minnesota Wild player, of course, of the past, that's no longer with us, now with the Arizona... literally, yeah, he's still alive, no longer with us, Arizona Coyotes, so God bless him, he's still alive. Gobert, the 5 assists, that's always nice, but an insanely impressive performance when you consider this team was absolutely kicking us into the next county, a 17-2 lead. Do you understand that, how crazy that is? 17-2, they were absolutely smoking us, and somehow, some way, you know, this team just is like, you know what, you think you're all that? Yeah, we know. We're sick of you, Dallas. Get out of the way. And that's kind of what gradually ended up happening. And Dallas is winning the Southwest Division, by the way. So this could be like a second-round matchup. You perform like that in the postseason on the road. And then, yes, there was no Kyrie Irving. There was no Kyrie Irving, I know. Kyrie Irving, you know, is a really, really good player. And he actually helped LeBron overcome that Golden State Warrior bullcrap in 2016. He's the guy that honestly fired the dagger. He fired that silver arrow into Ganon, to be quite honest, if you play like the old Zelda games, the old ones, not the current ones. The silver arrow, he's the one that fired the last shot that pretty much buried that stupid 73-win Warrior team. Good memory. Anyhow, but the Timberwolves took care of business in a big way in the second half. Anthony Edwards, again, overcoming a terrible shooting performance by winding up with 11 assists, so... It's like, yeah, Anthony Edwards' offense was putrid, but at least he created offense for others. At least helped create it at the very least. So, not bad. Not bad at the end of the day. Where do we go with this one? There's a Lone Wolf. There's a Johnny Flynn Memorial. Well, Shake Milton saved from the Johnny Flynn Memorial. I don't want to rip on Rudy Gobert too much. It's not like, but he didn't have a great week. He did have a 20-rebound performance versus Memphis, and he wasn't bad against Dallas at all. Just, you know, only got 4 shots up, which is funny. It's like the Wolves are just kind of getting hot from outside. I mean, 45% is going to help you. 50% overall, again, not shooting great necessarily because of Anthony Edwards' performance of 3 of 19 is going to bring your field goal percentage down just a couple points, I think. At least I would think so. Yeah, as for the award, though, of the week, I'm leaning towards Naz Reid, and I think it should go there. 10 points, 9 rebounds versus the Grizzlies. That's what I'm leaning towards. Carl Anthony Towns looked awfully good as well. It could almost be a kind of a co-thing. Naz Reid versus the Pelicans, still 17 points. Yeah, he was one of the few positives. Naz Reid is going to bring home the Lone Wolf Award for this episode. A Johnny Flynn Memorial. Jordan McLaughlin. No, I'm just kidding. Whatever, that would be mean. Maybe Kyle Anderson. Definitely a kind of a quiet week, and they had some poor shooting performance. So Kyle Anderson in a gentle version of it. Nickeil Alexander-Walker has not been that hot either, to be quite honest. I'm going to kind of lean towards... it's not ribbing on Kyle Anderson, but I would say he had one of his weaker weeks in a while, to be quite honest. I mean, there's a good chance he might wind up with the Lone Wolf next week. But yeah, three of seven, that's not that bad. But a quiet week, an overall quiet week by Kyle Anderson. So he's going to wind up getting a gentle, very gentle Johnny Flynn Popcorn Maker Memorial for this episode. With that, we'll take a quick break, and we got four games to preview, so let's giddy up. We are back here on Timberwolves Explosion. Yes, sir. Four games to preview, and yep, I'm going to do it. Here we go. Yeah, that'd be great. Excuse me. Yeah, it would be. Yes, and I had to take a sip of coffee. Indianapolis, Indiana, Pacers, 13-9. The Wolves have played a lot of above 500 teams, haven't they? We got some good ones here in this schedule. 13-9 Pacers, 14-11 Miami Heat, Eastern Conference champions, which I don't know, I guess. 16-7 Philadelphia, who we did beat earlier this year, which is incredible. 15-10 Lakers, they still look pretty strong. And are the in season tournament? Yeah, they won. Yeah, they did. Anyhow, the Indiana Pacers, Andrew Nembhard rolls right off your tongue with a knee injury as of December the 8th. I'll see you in 5 years. Jalen Smith, knee and heel. Knee and heel? Wow. I hope it's not like Achilles and knee. November 27th. Obviously, Jalen Clark, you know, still recovering from the Achilles on the Wolves side, but at least people are healthy. Indiana, number one offense in the league and in multiple categories. Uh-oh. Yeah. Indiana, number one in points, 128. The Wolves are 18th at 113. Uh-oh. Well, number one offense versus number one defense. They're number one in assists. I usually don't talk about stats like that, but number one in assists, number two in assists to turnover ratio, number two in blocks, number one in field goal percentage. Anything else? Sixth in three-point percentage. Wow. And how many games above 500? They're only 13-9? Huh. Why didn't they beat the Lakers? Dang it. But maybe they've... Yeah. Wow. Indiana 3-2 in their last five. This is a two-game series because that's the Eastern Conference. Of course, Saturday, December 16th at 7 in Target Center. Should be a lot of fun. Thursday, March the 7th in Indianapolis or whatever we like to call it. So we'll get back to that when we need to. Tyrese Halliburton is averaging 12 assists a game. 26.1 points. Miles Turner is also hanging in there. He's only averaging 8 rebounds, so they're not getting a ton of rebounds because they're not missing a lot of shots. They're really not. So what's their field goal percentage? 50.7. Holy Toledo, man. So what an efficient offense. Obviously, again, moving the ball around, hitting threes. What are they? Sixth and three-point percentage, 37.9. Only 0.6% better than the Wolves, but 0.6% in the NBA is pretty good. They're also 8th in turnovers given up, if you know what I mean. So Pacers second place to the Milwaukee Bucks, trailing by 3 games. Orlando still in first place, 16-7, just like Philly. Impressive stuff. Very impressive, to say the least. It's a good team. Indiana Pacers are a good team, and I'm not coming into this one all cocky and thinking the Wolves are going to kick their butts. But put it this way, if the Wolves do win this game by 10 or more, it'll be a pretty impressive performance. Buddy Hield, kind of a three-point specialist, more so than probably what he was hoping. He was probably hoping to be like a bigger name player, but he's going to become a three-point specialist throughout his career for the most part. 38.8 from outside. Obi Toppin, at least he's getting minutes now compared to before, because obviously his career, you know, he's developing a little bit. Kind of sad, though, a New Yorker being in New York, and I don't know, it's not happening. So Indiana it is, sorry. 12.3 points, 3.3 rebounds. Obi Toppin or Anthony Edwards, number one overall. Easy choice there. Obviously, it was going to be either, it was going to be either him or Ball, so it is what it is. It wasn't going to be that guy. Tyrese Haliburton has become quite a star, though. I never thought a all-star in the NBA would have the last name Haliburton. Makes me think of, like, yeah, oil tycoons or something. 12 assists, 44% from three-point range, 52% from the floor, and like I said earlier, 26 points a game. So he's obviously a stud. Miles Turner is a player the Wolves have wanted years ago, and I sure wanted him too. 2.1 blocks. I'd take him now too. Oh, yes. 8 rebounds, 17.6, but he'd probably cost a pretty penny to trade for. The Wolves are probably okay at the big man position. It's now looking like a possible point guard at some point, though I'm in no rush to get rid of the current point guard. Let's just put it that way. I absolutely love Mike Conley. Just unfortunately, his age is what it is, you know. But unless he's like Tom Brady, like, and he's going to play till he's 44 and still be good, eventually you might have to start, you know, looking for a successor at some point. Hope he's anything near what Mike Conley can bring. Timberwolves. This game, I think we're more likely to lose the road game than the home game, to be quite honest, between the Pacers and the Wolves. The Wolves simply get up for games like this. The Pacers are definitely a threat and everything, and you never know. They might just come in and beat us. But I like the Wolves' chances on a Saturday night at home versus the Indiana Pacers, and they have lost 9 games this year for some reason. They are closer to 500 than you'd think, but must be their defense. Yeah, they do give up points. I mean, they gave up, they lost to the Lakers 123-109. They can be beat. They can be beat up, and the Lakers kind of beat them up. They gave up 140 to the Bucks, so no division title there, right? No, 128-119 win recently, or a couple of games before, over the Bucks, and they beat the Celtics. Wow, 122-112. That's impressive. Back-to-back Bucks and Celtics wins. That's pretty good. Detroit, okay, this is crazy. This is an abomination to basketball. Detroit has lost 21 consecutive games. The Spurs have lost 18. You know, like late 80s, two very respectable teams. Detroit was winning titles, Spurs were a very respectable, you know, emerging team. Later on, they would win 5 titles. And it's just crazy to see such storied franchises over the past 30 years or so. Maybe not the past 5, but, like about a 25-year period or so. Sucking this bad. 21 losses in a row. The Detroit Pistons are 2-22. The Spurs are 3-20, having lost 18 consecutive games. You do not want to be the team to end their losing streak. Another positive thing, and I hope it continues. Now, again, I loved hearing Dan Barrero call the Golden State Warriors a fraud, calling that Steve Kerr a fraud. It took you that long to see it, guys? Yes, they're winning titles, but, I mean, they're still jackasses. Just like, you know, like the whole Draymond Green with Jokic incident. And Steve Kerr's like, oh, I didn't see anything. You know, see, that's where Burrow's not calling him a fraud in terms of him winning, but just a fraud of a person, just full of crap. And it's about time people saw him for being full of crap. Obviously, their wins weren't frauds. They're just, I don't know, they're a-holes. And finally, they're being exposed to what they are now that they're not winning anymore. People aren't blinded by their beauty and greatness. The Wolves will beat the Indiana Pacers by 6. I don't know why it's a weird number, but it's going to be like that. Final score, something along the likes. I think the Wolves reduced the Warriors, let's say 7. 120-113. The leading scorer in this game, Carl Anthony Towns with 30. Carl Anthony Towns with 30 versus the Indiana Pacers. Anthony Edwards should have a rebound game coming, and it's coming. I have a date coming here for that. You betcha. At least one of them. At least one of them, maybe two, but I got to think it's coming. Miami, Florida, Monday the 18th. Sorry, distracting. 14-11, the Miami Heat. Tyler Hero's leading them in scoring. Jimmy Butler, please change your profile picture. I can't do it. I'm sorry. Josh Richardson, illness. as of December 13th. We'll see if he's healthy by then. I don't know. Haywood Highsmith. Wow. Back injury December the 2nd. And Bam Adebayo. Hip, oh boy, hip injury. That sounds familiar. December the 1st. Uh-oh. Well, he's averaging 9.9 rebounds. Jimmy Butler. I don't know, man. 4.7 assists. Tyler Hero's leading them in scoring. 22.9. That's interesting. That's very interesting. Miami's tied with the Wolves at 18th in points, 26th in rebounds. Number one in the league in three-point percentage. That's definitely a worthy thing there. That's Tyler Hero. That just spells Tyler Hero right there. 39.2. So on and so forth. Fourth in assist to turnover ratio. That's impressive. The Wolves are second in blocks. So the Wolves pounded Miami pretty good, 106-90, when Jimmy Butler was sitting out and blowing us kisses. Yeah, anyhow, I think the Wolves are going to sweep the season series. Anthony Edwards has 35. I'm probably going to be wrong as wrong can be. Anthony Edwards has 35. I got a feeling he's going to get up for this one and kick some butt. We'll see if Jimmy Butler's too good for us again. And if he is, well, so be it. You're just tanking for your team. You know, you're just tanking your team. You're definitely not too good for us. So at this stage, Tyler Hero has only played 8 games, but they've been pretty epic. Jimmy Butler is averaging 21.5, the 4.7 assists, 5.3 rebounds. It's not like he's bad. He's averaging almost 40% from 3-point range, but I would have to say his end game shots have been pretty awful throughout his career. 88% free throw shooter, though. That's insanely impressive. Duncan Robinson, 44.2. That's a 3-point specialist, and another reason why the Heat have the best 3-point percentage in the league. Kyle Lowry as well, 44%. It's pretty damn good. So if the Heat beat us, it's going to be from the outside. There's no doubt. Guys like Robinson, Kyle Lowry hitting shots. Who knows? Kevin Love might get hot, but who's this Kevin Love guy? Oh, he's in the rotation. He's one of the, he's kind of like their Naz Reid, but a much older version and not nearly as good at this stage of his career. 8.9, Kevin Love. Remember that guy? Yeah. 6.7 rebounds. He's actually second on the team in rebounds and averaging 18.5 minutes. The Wolves do win this game. Anthony Edwards gets up for it. 35 points in this one. The Wolves do win this game against the Miami Heat. Philadelphia, maybe that's the one. That might be the one, because that's definitely not going to be an easy game. Why is this not going forward? Oh, you suck. Maybe I didn't put it forward. I know I did, but it's acting funny. Starting to sound like my supervisor, like, it's a brand new laptop. It's just sitting there. Nope, it's Yahoo being idiots. God. Okay, Philadelphia, this one. Ooh, nope. This is on NBA TV, isn't it? Cool. And it should be, dang it. Wednesday at Wells Fargo Center to T. Smith. I'll just call him T. Smith. To Turquavion. Oh, my God. Turquavion Smith. Rolls right off your tongue. The leading scorer in the NBA is Joel Embiid. The first Joel is the leading scorer in the NBA, 33.8. He's having a Wilt Chamberlain-like season, of course, because Wilt Chamberlain did play for Philadelphia. They have won 4 games in a row, and that's when Wilt was in his prime. They managed to beat the Wizards by only 5 points. They beat Atlanta by 9. They beat Washington by 45. 45. 146 to 101. Thought that might be notable. 129-111 over the Detroit Pistons, sending them to their 21st loss in a row. Wow. Anyhow, Philadelphia's 3rd in points, 8th in rebounds, 7th in 3-point percentage, 6th in blocks, thank you, Joel Embiid, and also 4th in steals. That definitely notable number there. Philadelphia 112. So the Wolves won the first game of the 2-game series of the Eastern Conference Club, 112-99. I'm going to refer to that one. That was Drinksgiving, as people call it, or Thanksgiving Eve. I don't Drinksgiving. We're happy for you. I have one nice, strong... French toast, backwards bastard French toast. That's a strong, 11%er, and I drink it slowly. I'm not big into overdoing it at all. Anthony Edwards did have 31 in the game, and I think he'll get up for the Philadelphia 76ers again. Sorry for the noise. Don't understand it. Anyhow, I don't understand it at all. Some people, nobody needs that much water. Carl Anthony Towns, 23-11-3 in the game. Why am I referring back to this one? But Anthony Edwards did get 31 points in the game. I don't know. I think this is, if the Wolves are going to drop one of these four, because the Wolves are not going undefeated this year, okay? They're not going undefeated the rest of the season. It'd be amazing if we could go on and win 70 games this year. But I don't know. That's a little bit far-fetched, I think. Like, anything's possible, as a certain former Timberwolf once said after winning a title, and I hope we get to say that as well, but whatever. There's another putrid team that I'm forgetting about, the one that lost by 45. Washington is 3-20. They've kind of crept down into the doldrums of basketball hell or purgatory or whatever. 3-20. Wow. 3-20. Anyhow. If the Wolves do drop one of these four, I think this is the one, unfortunately. Carl Anthony Towns, no. Anthony Edwards is going to lead the Wolves in scoring again. I do think he's kind of gets his motion back. Like, I just think he's gonna improve a bit, but get him around 25-ish. Unfortunately, I think the Wolves drop this one, though, by a final score of something along the likes of... I'd be impressed. We kept them to 99. That's impressive. That's what I was looking at. I wanted to look and see who actually did people, like significant people, miss the game, and I thought they did. Yeah, there was no Joel Embiid, see? Whatever. Yeah, as long as he actually plays. It's not because I think Philadelphia is better than the Wolves, but I just don't think the Wolves are going to sweep them right now. And it's not like, it's not like we're a perfect team or anything. Very good team. Wolves will be in this one, but Philadelphia emerges victorious 125 to 120. Yeah, to 120. It might be 116, something like that. But Philadelphia will emerge victorious and win this game, unfortunately. Anthony Edwards with 25. And Carl Anthony Towns is about the same, basically. They'll kind of both maybe combine for 50, but unfortunately not come out as winners. Los Angeles Lakers. I like the way the Wolves played them most of last year, and now everything just blew up. Okay, good. There's an easy fix here. Sorry. Everything kind of messed up here. Los Angeles Lakers, Vince Germano, Kalen Woods, Stu Benson, guys like that. Just in case the latter two are listening still, I don't know if they are or not. Hopefully. Obviously, Vince Germano, God bless you, love you, and Merry Christmas, my friend, over there in Melbourne, Australia. 25.3 points a game, the Tom Brady of the NBA right now. I can't call him Jordan, but I can call him Tom Brady, which is pretty close. Pretty close, because 25.3. He is, my God, yep, he's going to turn 39 years of age right before New Year's Eve there. Number one pick in the 2003 NBA draft. 20 years ago last spring. 25.3 points a game, 7.5 rebounds, 6.7 assists. I think the Cavaliers picked the right guy that year. No, and of course, he was supposed to be. But a lot of times when a guy is hyped and hyped and hyped and hyped and hyped and hyped and hyped, they don't end up quite, living up to the hype. Or maybe their career is shortened for some reason. Like Magic Johnson was insanely hyped many, many years ago before I was, the year I was born, but 79. Hyped like you wouldn't believe. He was, he was the LeBron James of that time. And did he live up to the hype? Yeah, they won 5 championships. But then unfortunately his career was shortened with... the whole AIDS, we'll call it HIV, that can lead to AIDS. And luckily for him, it remained dormant. So, but he had to retire early because of that. He probably would have played till he was 40 or something like LeBron James is right now. A lot of people saw that the Magic Johnson would be that kind of guy. And who knows what his career could have been. It's just a damn shame how that turned out. Other players that have been hyped to the moon usually don't live up to the hype, but LeBron James absolutely has. Don't agree with everything the guy has said, publicly, politically, this and that. But at the same time, as a basketball player, just basketball itself, where I'll shut up and talk instead of shut up and dribble, you know, in this case. You know what I mean? So my case is I'll shut up and analyze or whatever. LeBron James' career, I mean, there's no real analyzing needed at the end of the day. Just watch and watch and wonder. The IQ just got higher and higher and higher and higher. He has a PhD in basketball. He's a billionaire as a businessman, literally. And it's been an amazing run. And I don't really want it to end. As much as, yep, and it's cool. He's probably going to play at least one more year. And what an amazing feat. Will he be the first player to get to 22 seasons? Right now, I wouldn't doubt it for a minute that there's a possibility of that happening. It's just crazy. Look at the career. You know, they have the chart of, you know, all the different numbers and the different teams and all that. It's just, it's so big. It's like looking at Robert Parrish, Kevin Garnett, guys like that. That lasted forever. Kevin Garnett at this age, though, you know, I mean, do you remember? Yeah, I mean, he was a shell of himself. Obviously, the doggone knee injury in his second year with Boston definitely hampered that. But, you know, all these little strategies that he does throughout the game, instead of like running down the court when not needed, you know, he'll walk down the court just to preserve energy, this and that. It's amazing. And I don't know. Sorry, I just had to go into that for a minute. And congratulations on the first in-season tournament. I guess if it's somebody, it might as well be the Lakers, I guess. So kind of is what it is. Anthony Davis, obviously, when healthy, is the other piece to lead the team to a championship. He can go out for 40 as well. 12.5 rebounds, 2.6 blocks. He's having an awesome season. He's staying healthy, knock on wood. With those two guys healthy and strong, they could win a championship again. D'Angelo Russell is a starting point guard. Well, he's got nice statistics, I guess. He is the third wheel. He is the third guy offensively with 16 points, 6.4 assists. But you don't want him taking big shots. He'll kill you. Well, actually, that's not true. He's clutch. He is clutch. But if he starts getting out of control, that's where you got to kind of like move. You got to kind of move away from him. And we'll see how the Lakers end up doing. Cam Reddish, I was a big fan of him coming out of Duke, but he's been oft injured. Luckily for him, 21 games this year, so that's a big jump from before. Why do I keep thinking of... I think I've got Christian Wood mixed up with someone else that was hurt too much and it was too bad. Jared Vanderbilt has only played in 4 games this year, so that's a crying shame. Big fan of him. He's had back problems. Anthony Davis, adductor. That's around your chest, I believe. I keep getting those mixed up. I believe it's the chest, though. Torian Prince, former Timberwolf, averaging 9.4 a game. He obviously, almost 40% from outside, closer to 39. But Rui Hachimura is shooting 41% from outside, but he doesn't take too many. LeBron James is shooting 40.5 from outside. Just crazy. 55% from the floor. Again, just the IQ. The way he times his passes, his shot attempts, just the right time, right place. He's a PhD in basketball. There's just no doubt. Alex Fudge, that's a funny name. So we'll move off of this. I've been babbling a lot here, kind of gushing about LeBron's career, and I'm sure Vince Germano appreciates it and other Laker fans at the moment. And I don't know. It's been an amazing run and all the credit in the world. Coming to Target Center, though, unfortunately, a back-to-back. So, but I think the Wolves drop to the Sixers and maybe beat the Lakers is my guess. I'm guessing it's going to be a split between this. Maybe the Wolves beat the Sixers and drop the Lakers, but we'll see. This is the start of a 4-game series at 8 p.m. on this one, so this sounds like TNT to me, which should be fun. Hopefully a healthier Anthony Edwards and LeBron James going at it off and on. Saturday, December the 30th, LeBron's birthday. Yep, there it is, LeBron's 39th birthday. I remember hearing that in Target Center, both of these. Sunday, March 10th. In Los Angeles, and Sunday, April 7th in Los Angeles. The Lakers are 4-1 in their last 5. They've been pretty hot lately. Wolves 4-1 in our last 5. Lakers 15th in points, 10th in rebounds, and 5th in field goal percentage since, you know, guys like LeBron and Anthony Davis leading the way there. Overall, though, I'm going to predict the Wolves to beat the Lakers, believe it or not. This is going to be a really tough matchup. Okay, Anthony Davis, a ducker. We'll see if he plays. Torian Prince, knee. Uh-oh. And Jared Vanderbilt, back. So he just came back, and now he's got a back issue. Interesting. So, but at the end of the day, I think the Wolves beat the Lakers. I'm sorry, Vince, he's going to be like, really, Joey? Final score, and they may very well kick our butts. Who knows what's going to happen, but I doubt it. I doubt it. I think the Wolves emerge victorious in this one. Final, it'll be really close, though. Maybe this one goes to OT on TNT just to drive them nuts a little bit. 135 to 132. The Wolves win. Carl and Anthony Edwards combined for 60. I'll just leave it at that. Combined for 60 in the game. That might not be two. Here it goes again. That figures. She's doing it again. She's doing it again. Vince is going to laugh. So, but that's what's going to happen at the end of the day. With that said, we're going to take a quick break and get the fan interaction. Back here on Timberwolves Explosion fan interaction segment. Some nice beef being sauteed behind me, so that's always a fun thing. So, yep, good job with the saute, right? Good job, right? So, sorry, I got annoyed with me. So, anyhow, the Instagram is Timberwolves_explosion. The Twitter or X is @TWolvesEX. @TWolvesEX. I don't think looks like there's no fan interaction this week, unfortunately. So, and it's my own fault for not really interacting. I should have. Just been kind of tied up a lot this week. Working a little bit later than normal, unfortunately. So that's kind of what's been going on. Retweets from Levi. Levi Brown out of New Zealand. Derek Felska out of Western Wisconsin. And Vince Germano out of Australia. Vince, Tanae Brown, I believe he retweeted as well somewhere. Looks like it. But either way, thank you. And thank you for all the times you did. If you didn't, if you maybe just didn't get around to it, and that's totally fine. The interaction, though, I just want to say thank you to everybody that has interacted with this show over and over again over the course of time, obviously, Tanae and Vince and many others. And I need to be better about interacting. Get some conversation going. I can't be like praying everybody like starts conversations. I need to be a little bit better about that. So my apologies to all of you about that. Just to get kind of like a weird kind of week or so, but things will gradually quiet down here. It looks like the next couple of weeks, at least, for wink wink reasons. You know, obviously, like let's just say I won't be staying late. Nudge nudge. So that's the good part. So with that said, hoping all of you have a wonderful week before Christmas week, I guess, that type of thing. Timberwolves hopefully continue their run here. They definitely have a tough schedule, and here comes the noise, dang it. But please do put a positive rating for the show, like a 5-star rating on iTunes or any other app that allows you to do so. If you like any other podcasting app or provider that allows you to put a 5-star rating, please do. It'll really help with the algorithms. And those of you that have, thank you so, so, so very much. Huge shout out to Scott Doherty of From Flip to Finch. From Flip to Finch. That's Facebook page. From Flip to Finch. I can't believe how many times I've forgotten to give that shout out. And I don't know why. It's like really dumb. It's like I get too excited to do this show because I love doing this every week. It's Friday and all that cool stuff. And then I rudely forget. So huge apologies again. Scott Doherty, awesome guy, and an awesome Facebook page for Timberwolves Explosion, or for Timberwolves Conversation. And he's kind enough to allow me to post like little bat signals like, hey, the show's out, that type of thing. With that said, have yourself a wonderful week, and go Timberwolves.